Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Hey, welcome back to World Famous Phil Henry Show. We got Father James McCord is going to join us for a very brief moment here at the beginning of the hour because we have a story here on an Alabama senator by the name of Shadrach McGill. Boy, that is a hell of a name. That's a great name, you know.
Shadrach McGill. That's very biblical.
Very biblical. Shadrach. And I know there's cats named Shad. Is that what that is?
Yeah, I knew a guy named, what, you mean Chad?
Not Chad. Shad. Shad.
No, all I know is a fish.
The fish?
Yes, there is a fish called the shag or the shad. I don't know. I think there's a fish.
Well, anyway, I like the name Shadrach. All right. So, good old Father McCordes will be here in a moment. We want to remind you that we're online at philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can watch our live streaming video each and every night. We also have a movie of the week that we do, and a bunch of other stuff, video events that we're planning. And sometimes we actually roll our pre-show audio for free over at philhenryradio.com. But having said all of that, it's best to get a backstage pass so you catch our pre-show as well as all the behind-the-scenes between the commercials and the commercial breaks and everything. To check out just how weird this can get, because it can get weird. Things have calmed down around here, though, you know.
Well, I was going to say, I remember when you used to lose your temper and threaten to commit homicide.
You did, Mr. Henry, you did.
You threatened to commit homicide, or as they say in Clockers, homicide.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad.
I never said that I was really going to kill a guy.
I don't care what you meant. But you would sit there, and it would look as if the devil himself had taken possession of your very soul. The sweat would bead up on your forehead. Your eyes would blaze red. Bright eyes, like his, only smaller.
You get out of here with the Dracula monologue.
I'm telling you. And then you would say, excuse me.
Is it your bridge?
It's my upper bridge, yes. Hold on for just a minute.
You want me to go get the glue out of the car?
Bud, don't say there's glue.
What happened?
Well, what do you think happened? The upper bridge?
I didn't know you had a bridge there, Margaret.
Thank you. Well, that was the great work of Dr. Cupertino, but God, yes. There's, Bud?
Yeah?
There is some, there's a simple solution. There's a solution in the front, on the front seat of my... On the front seat of my Suburban, if you could go and get the solution to the front...
If I think I understand, it's a solution on the front seat of her Suburban.
On the front seat of Suburban?
Yes, on the front seat of the Suburban.
Okay, he's going to go get it, Margaret.
Jesus.
Backstage pass here at philhenryshow.com. All right, Father James McCorders, while Margaret gets her... teeth glued back in.
I'm not getting my teeth glued.
Listen, Margaret, this is Father McCordes. Don't let it, just let it slide.
Father McCordes, I'm just...
Just let it slide, Margaret. Let it slide, all right? When they get the glue or whatever it is out of the car, we'll be able to put the teeth in.
All right, Father James McCordes joining us here.
All I'm saying, Father...
Let it slide, all right? That's what I say to you, and I say that to all young black men with sneakers. If someone scuffs your Jordans, as Chris Rock said so eloquently, let it slide. Right?
Let it slide.
Let it slide. That's my marching orders here.
All right, Father McCordes, the story here from...
Thank you very much, Bud.
She put her teeth in the... Margaret, why don't you have the good courtesy and the good decency to go out to the outer area and have your teeth put in there quietly?
Yes, Father.
Because I can't hear myself think when she's sitting there, I can hear all of the
it's maddening. How you been, Father?
I've been doing fine. I've been doing pretty good. We did a fundraiser. We had a fiesta last weekend.
You had the fiesta, yeah? How'd it go?
But very good. Raised a lot of money. Putting in the youth wing now. We were able to replace the youth hut. And we're working, as you know, with the migrants in the area. Trying to get the children vaccinated and so forth. Just basically keeping myself busy. I get out of the rectory during the day and go around and bless people. And that way, His Holiness, you know, the Archbishop there in Los Angeles, doesn't think that we're over here, excuse me for saying, but I say this with a great deal of love of God in my fellow man in my heart, that His Holiness the Archbishop doesn't make the cardinal, I should say, here in the Los Angeles Diocese. We got a cardinal. You're aware of that, Phil, right?
Yes, of course. We have Cardinal Mahoney.
Cardinal, yes. And so the cardinal doesn't say to me, is he dead? He may be dead. You spend so little time paying attention to what's happening, Phil, that I don't know whether the cardinal is dead or not.
No. Just go ahead, okay?
Right. So in any event, he said to me, she stopped by, he said, Jim, how you doing? I said, I'm great, you know, I'm better than a lot of people and not as good as some. He said, well, I can see that, you know, and we had a cigar. And he says to me, so what's up? I says, how's tricks?
Okay, and so what did you guys talk about?
I'm sorry. So anyway, I did the fundraiser. He'll come by and he'll say, you're getting out of the rectory, you're out of the fundraiser. I said, yes, I am. I'm working with the migrants. I'm working with the underprivileged. He'll say, fine, and he gets lost. You know, that's what all we have to say to him to keep him from sticking his nose all the way up by you-know-what. You know, we've got a good thing here. And the last thing I need, Phil, is for the cardinal to be coming around 3-4 times a week, knocking on the door, saying, well, let's see the books and how much you're raising. Because I'll tell you right now, I'm about this close to telling him to take his curiosity, if you will, and his cardinal's nose and stick it back up Benedict's rear end where it had been for a lot of years, more years than anybody'd like to see. And he can take it out of Benedict's rear end, then he can shove it right back up what's-his-face, you know, the John Paul, because, boy, he had it buried there.
Why are you angry at him?
Well, you know, it's the kind of a deal. Rank has its privileges, as you know, Phil. And when you're the cardinal of the Los Angeles Archdiocese, or the cardinal of any diocese, you can get away with an awful lot. If you're a lowly just priest like myself, a monsignor of a very lowly parish, out here in Glendale, California, that's catering mostly to the migrants, and a few of the other people as well, but mostly the migrants, life can be a very difficult thing. So as long as I can keep him off my back, then I'm a very happy man.
Okay. So business is good?
Yes, business, I'd say, is very good.
All right. The story here...
Okay, I'm back. My teeth are in, but I don't know how... Jesus. I don't think I've gone back.
Well, that sounds worse now, Margaret.
It does, Margaret. What happened?
I don't know. That.
You know, I don't want to say this too loud, but this is almost a blessing. It's almost a blessing. I said a rosary before I come on your show tonight, Phil, as I usually do. I don't not usually for your show, but I usually do a rosary this time of night, and just so I happen to come on your show.
I understand.
And the rosary I'm saying to myself, I hope that Margaret would find the good grace within her, and that the Holy Spirit would move her so that she would keep her mouth shut. Just keep her mouth shut long enough for me to get a word in. And you know something? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, answered my prayer.
Knocked her teeth right out of her mouth.
He knocked her teeth out of her mouth. Oh, I love you so much, Phil. I love you so much. I love you so much. Okay. So what is it that you wanted to talk to me about?
Okay, yeah, this is Heather McGill.
Oh, Heather McGill. Heather McGill. I remember her now. The Maggie McGill and Heather McGill, and up the gill they went. On a fine day, they came to my tent. I sat there and said, hey, Maggie and your sister, how about the two of you do it till you blister? Then the man...
What did you do? You just hung up on a priest of God.
I don't give a crap. What? Hung up on a priest of God? What's up with that guy?
What did you do? Did you hang up on him?
Will you get out of here with the teeth, Margaret, and get him fixed?
Yeah, I hung up on a priest of God.
So? So I hung up on a priest of God? What is he? You think it's a mortal sin? Did you hear what he just sang?
Well, he's talking about having at it.
He's a priest. They're not supposed to have at it.
Oh, I forgot about that.
What about the priest that can?
You're thinking of Episcopalians. Get him back on the phone, will you?
Got him a quarter.
Well, you know, you hung up on me, Phil. I was singing an old Irish... It was an old Irish limerick song. It's not a serious thing. I don't want the people to think that Father McQuarters is out there doing things that he shouldn't be doing. It's just simply a folk song, you know.
I understand, Father, but it was... You know, I mean, it was pretty harsh.
Maggie McGill and blah, 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 blah. What was harsh about it?
Something about doing it till you blister.
I apologize. I apologize to everyone out there. You know something? I'm feeling pretty good tonight because I am going to be returning to Ireland very briefly to visit my sister. She's been very sick. She's fine now.
Oh, that's good news.
Right, and we get to go back, so I'm looking forward to that. And but Heather McGill and Maggie McGill, remind me of the song. Heather McGill and Maggie McGill. You never heard the song?
No, I never heard it.
No, it's a song about two sisters. And, well, you know, they were very popular, and I'm not going to get into any of that, but Heather McGill and Maggie McGill, and you never heard the song?
No, I haven't.
The song of Heather McGill and Maggie McGill, and they lived down the lane, and Joe and Lou and Betty, too, together they all, well...
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm talking about.
That's how good they were. In any event, so this Alabama politician, his wife, she took to Facebook to warn women to stay away from her husband. She said a righteous anger pushed her to write a post that has now gone viral. She said, I know that I can't bring about change in other people's lifestyles, but I can protect my household, my husband, and my children. This is Heather McGill and Maggie McGill, you know, the wife of Shadrach McGill. She told ABC News.
Okay. Now, what was going on?
Well, hold on. Heather McGill logged onto her husband's Facebook page on Monday night to write a post targeted to women she claims are soliciting her husband, a Republican who served in the Senate since 2010. They're soliciting for sex. Multiple times since being in office, he's gotten emails from women who may not even be real, inviting him to explore the sexualities of so-and-so, and also sending pictures of themselves. We have children that look at our Facebooks from time to time. Shame on you. Senator McGill told ABC News that during his 2010 campaign, strippers arrived at his family's home in the middle of the night, and that since being elected, he's received numerous photos on Facebook of scantily clad women. Heather McGill said it was the latest photo, one that was posted last Sunday, that drove her to write the post, in which she warned the women, next time everyone will know who you are, for I will publicly share your name before we unfriend you. She said she looked at her husband's face. So it's a lot of stuff like this, and it's nothing that I haven't gotten, that you haven't gotten. And
What do you mean you haven't gotten?
I've gotten some of this from time to time from the parish. Oh, yeah, we've got women in the parish. And you? What about you, Phil? My God, the pictures of the nudity that is splayed.
Hold on for a minute.
Oh, you're going to have to talk about some of the nudity? Oh.
Get the teeth fixed. We'll be right back with Father James McCorders. Heather McGill, the wife of Senator Shadrach McGill, is pissed off because her husband is being solicited for sexual favors. And is she being duped? Is her husband out there, you know? Is he out there trolling? Is he out, hey, baby? And he's telling her, hey, baby, it's not me. They're doing, yeah, see?
Way to go. Get him in trouble.
Not getting him in trouble. I just want to know what's up. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth. Is our bitch.
Oh,
Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show.
On the line with me is Father James McCorders here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we discuss this story from Alabama. Senator Shadrach McGill, his wife Heather, took to the senator's Facebook account today to say, basically, Father McCorders chastised women that had been sending unsolicited sexual pictures, I guess, and so forth.
Well, I think you have to look at this because I'm very familiar with Facebook, Phil. I'm very familiar with the social media. It's part of my vocation and calling here as a Catholic priest, especially in these modern times, and dealing with a parish. And remember that Billmore Academy is a parish that serves not only the very wealthy in the foothill areas here of Glendale and Burbank, but we also have a very fairly decent size of migratory workers and so on and so forth, farm workers and so on and so forth. Now, having said that, I'm very conversant in the social media. And I can tell you from first-hand experience that even though I'm a priest and though I am called to a life of vocation of celibacy, is it time to time I do receive in my messaging there at Facebook on my page, from time to time I do receive from a female a picture that shows her in the altogether and unclothed, the state of God's good nudity, but certainly nothing that you should send to a strange man, even though I am a priest. I would not recommend young women, or any woman at all, to send me a photograph of herself in the good, sweet nature, the good, sweet nature of the nude, stripped out. You know, it
makes you a little nervous, doesn't it?
But it does make me a bit nervous, yes. And certainly, Phil, I know that you've had your fair share as well. And
well, you know something, Father? I don't want to talk about that, if you don't mind. And I know I haven't received my... What do you mean, my fair share?
Well, every man in this world, I think, is entitled to his fair share of a woman mailing him pictures of herself with no clothes on. I think there's an expectation that a man, if you divvy it up over a lifetime, did you get your share? And
what do you mean, get my share?
I'm talking about men getting nude pictures in the mail!
Yeah, you understand what the father's saying?
No.
I don't think he does. I think you need to take your boss out and show him the world a little bit.
Wait a second. First of all, you don't yell at me. And secondly, what do you mean by, when you say fair share, you seem to think that every guy on this planet is entitled to a certain number of nude pictures from strange women in his lifetime.
Bingo! Yeah. You know something, Phil? I swear you ought to get on that college ball or whatever that... What's the game, the Jeopardy? I'll take Midgets for 50. What's the one, what's it called?
Yeah, it's called Jeopardy, Father.
That's the one you ought to be on the show, because you're fast. You're quick. Woo! You, boho, baby.
You know, Father, your sarcasm is very unbecoming, and I'll tell you something else. As a Catholic priest, you're treating this in a very cavalier manner. I think this is a serious issue for a married man. His wife is concerned. There are children in that house. You think you want to see children in a home walk in and look at their dad's Facebook page and see that?
Well, come on now. I'm not talking about showing the children these things. I'm trying to tell you that in every man's life, and I think there's a fair share of women, too. In every woman's life, there's a fair amount of male, inanimate or otherwise, you're going to get that shows you, oh, yeah, shows you the world, all 69 states. And
okay, I've had it with him. I think he's drunk.
My God, you hung up on a priest of God.
If I hear that phrase one more time, I'm going to come unglued.
Well, all right, Phil.
What's wrong?
What's wrong? If you guys said to me you hung up on a priest of God once, you said it 58 times. I hung up on a priest of God. Am I going to go to hell for it? Maybe. I'm the Catholic. I ought to know. You guys don't know.
Well, I am Episcopalian. Well, I was Episcopalian.
That's almost Catholic.
Is it really almost Catholic? Well, great, Margaret. Then you should understand, A, I could give a crap. B, I ain't going to go to hell because I hung up on a priest of God. That guy's been pushing the envelope on this show tonight. He sounds like he's drunk.
Well, I'll give you that.
Well, thank you. Thanks for weighing in, too.
Phil, there are times when a man's just got to do what a man's got to do. And you had the man up there, dog. And I thought you did a very, very good job.
Yeah, you had him pretty good, Phil.
What did I do? I didn't do anything. All I was telling the guy was, you know, I don't know what I said. This guy is getting into all kinds of dirty stories, and that whole thing about Maggie McGill and Heather McGill, and, you know, they did it till they blistered. I didn't like that either. But to finish up the story, Senator McGill told ABC News during his 2010 campaign, strippers arrived at his family's home in the middle of the night, and that since being elected, he's received numerous photos on Facebook of scantily clad women. Now, let me ask you a question, seriously. Okay, if you are in the public eye, and you're a guy like this senator, good-looking guy, you know, what's the likelihood that women are going to see you and go, oh, God, he's really handsome and he's powerful. I think I'll send him a picture of myself nude. I'm not saying that they don't do it, but in the amounts that the wife here is claiming, and what is the likelihood that it could be a political rival trying to make you look bad? You know what I mean? Trying to do an Anthony Weiner on you.
Oh, that is very... Now, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point, Mr. Henry.
That's my point. Now, the wife seems to indicate that during this screed that she published...
What's that?
A screed, a letter, a broadside, something like that.
The broadside.
It's a statement, okay?
Well, don't lose it, Phil.
How are these questions? So she says, if you're a woman at all... So she seemed to leave open the possibility that you may not actually be a woman, you may be perhaps a political rival, an enemy of some sort. I wouldn't put it past him, and I bet you that that's exactly what's going on here, man. Not in all cases. Okay? Now, my next question is the following one. Women are not going to post that on your page unless they're stupid, because Facebook's going to take it down. Yeah, there's prostitutes. There's all kinds of chicks that are working Facebook just like they do Twitter, but most of the time, they've got their little, you know, their photographic albums, and you go and you look, okay?
You do that?
Why, sure, just the other... No, I have not done that. The music. I guess we have to break.
Yeah, lucky for you, Phil, because I was just about to...
Never mind. I think that there's a little bit of maybe truth to what's going on here in terms of women, you know, sending the guy pictures. But I think there's a political rival that's, you know, trying to make the guy look bad, trying to get the guy to take the bait.
The bait of a nude woman.
Yay! Thank you. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Whew.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, what are you all getting?
You know, I'm not going to get into the specifics of it, but I was just talking to Dan about a friend that I had, and I say had because she and her husband are not friends of mine anymore. And one of the reasons, and I just feel bad about it because I really like these guys. She had given me a picture. We were going to write some stuff and we were going to write some things based upon, she'd had a very, very interesting, a very, very tough, a life that was worthy of being chronicled and possibly presented as a film or a book or something. And I got to know her and her husband, and she gave me one day a picture of herself that was in a frame. And she said, "Would you take this, Phil? This will tell you a lot about me." This photograph was a picture of herself as a little girl in Florida. I don't want to give you any more of the specifics. And I took the picture, and I'm going to tell you that I deserve, you know, having been, basically I was ostracized by both of these guys. I won't tell you anything about them. You know, they just stopped talking to me, and they basically thought of me as a real scumbag.
Why? Did you just lose a picture?
Hold on for a minute, Margaret. It wasn't just a picture. It was a really important picture that she gave to me to give me a really good sense of herself and her family and what she was from. It was something to help inspire the work that we would do in creating a vehicle about her life, because it was an amazing life. And my only, you know, when they say when you apologize, you should never make an excuse, just say you're sorry. And I believe that that's what you should do. I don't believe that apologies ever, ever, ever should have any explanation, because now you're trying to, you know, you're trying to weasel your way out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just say you're sorry.
Right. And I do. I say I am sorry to both of them. The reason why I want to give some background is because sometimes if people are like me, I want to know why something happened, you know. I want to know, okay, I know you're sorry. Why did you do that? You know, I would like to have a little explanation. And I lost this picture, folks. It was a picture in a frame. It was a black and white picture. It was one from her childhood. It was absolutely important to her. It may be, and this is the real killer for me, it may be the only picture she had of herself as a kid. Anyway, I lost it.
You lost it mentally, or what did you...
I lost the picture.
Oh. We thought you started throwing chairs and stuff in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Huh?
You said that you were sorry, and we thought you picked up a chair in a restaurant and just threw it at her. We don't...
Where did you get that out of that?
Well, you said you lost it.
I lost the picture. I was just talking about a picture. Was I not just talking about a picture?
Yes, you were talking about a picture.
And then I said I lost it, meaning the picture.
Oh, we thought you... The lady and her husband was having dinner, and you picked up a chair.
And you broke it over her head.
What? There was nothing I said.
Oh, Phil, quit making a federal case out of it. Go on.
Yeah, just move on. Move past it.
Hey, bud, I'll take it from Margaret, not you, okay?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's right, Margaret. I'm sitting there having dinner with these two people, and I can't take it anymore, and I...
Well, if you're going to laugh about breaking a chair over a woman's head... You know something, Phil? You need counseling, because it's an anger issue.
I didn't do that, what you're saying. I didn't break a chair over a woman's head. I'm laughing over the idea of it, but I never did it. See, you already have made it into something that's real. It never happened.
Well,
I don't care if I said I lost it. I lost the photograph. Now, let me continue. I lost this picture. And I lost it by way of explanation, not by way of getting myself off the hook, but in case one were to say, all right, Phil, I accept your apologies, but you know something? I do want to know how it is you screwed that up. Because I would simply say this. My marriage had come to an end. It was a horrible time in my life. My contract was up at Clear Channel. I had no idea what the hell I was, A, going to do, B, how I was going to pay for it, you know, C, my marriage is coming apart, and I still have these bills to pay, and I mean, dude, you have, and I had to keep the ball going forward, you know, I was thinking work, okay, what, and anything that came along, I was thinking, well, I'll take it, and I'll work on it, and one of the things was the idea of this project based on her story. She gave me this picture. Her and her husband came to Los Angeles. We sat down. We had a meeting. We, you know, we had dinner, and I lost it. I lost the picture, and I felt crap can. And I'll tell you something. Sometimes in life, you mess up. You can't undo it, man. You cannot undo it. People will not look at you the same way. They won't trust you. They, especially if they barely know you in the first place. So I recognize that's an opportunity for friendship that I completely butchered, you know?
Yeah, well, you lost the picture and everything. And I know you didn't break no chair on nobody's head, okay? I'm not saying that you've done that.
Thank you.
But if you lost that picture and then you had, I know you didn't, but if you had.
Well, it doesn't make any difference, man, if you didn't do it.
Yeah, but think, if he lost the picture, then he goes, you know what, I lost the picture. Ah, to hell with it. And picked up a chair and broke it over her head.
Well, why would he do that, Bud?
Because he said, oh, to hell with it.
You know, Bud, that's what I call doing twists and flips just to try to make something come out the way you want it to come out. That none of that happened, okay?
That's what you call what?
Never mind. I'm not going to go, I lost your picture. I'm so sorry that it doesn't matter now. Allow me to just pick this chair up and smash it over your head.
Dude, the way you're laughing at that, that makes me think maybe that's a possibility.
That's what we're worried about.
Because I'm laughing at it, you think it's a possibility?
Yeah.
Well, see, that shows me how little you idiots know about human beings. That's how little you know of the human condition. That because that laughter is sometimes called hysterical laughter. It's the kind of laughter that we revert to when we've got no other way of expressing something, where the jumble of emotions is so much that we just go, you know?
That kind of laugh like in a movie when a guy goes, hey, baby, and he smacks her in the face?
Exactly. Like that movie we saw the other night.
We thought about that movie that guy slapped that girl.
Yeah. You remember it?
Which movie's that?
We're watching the movie. I think it was Fred McMurray in that. And anyway, he says to her, she starts laughing uncontrollably, and he smacked her.
Oh, yes. I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you can do?
No, you can't do that. No, I would not recommend that. That's what they used to do in the old movies. The chick is laughing, he'd smack her.
Sounds pretty good, though.
Oh, does it sound pretty good? Well, you know.
See, this is what I'm talking about. You encourage these animals with stories like that.
It wasn't a story. It was a movie they were watching. But in any event, make a long story short, wrap this up. Please, dear God, Phil. I lost that picture, and I've never not thought about it.
Every day?
Not every day.
Every other day?
No, not every other day.
Weekly?
Not weekly.
Well, how do you think about it?
I think about it from time to time, okay? And I feel bad about it, and I also try to think, what can I do to somehow make it up to those guys? And there are days I keep looking. It's like that thing you'll never stop looking for. I've got boxes, I've got crates, I got stuff everywhere, man. And I think one of these days, maybe I'll come across this picture. Maybe I didn't lose it. I can't imagine that I lost it. I can't imagine it. But there's a part of me that thinks that I was so goofy, I was so out of my mind with so much that I might have dropped it in a garbage can or something.
That's totally destructive to do that.
Yeah, that's very hostile.
It wasn't hostile. It was not hostile. It was like something didn't register between her giving me that picture and me taking it. Something didn't register in me that this was an important thing that she was doing. Or if it did, it registered only as three-quarters as important as she meant it to be, you know?
Well, you were lost, Phil, if I may say. You were lost in that narcissism, okay?
What's that?
Narcissism, bud, is the state of mind that some people are in where it's all about them. All about them, and everyone else doesn't matter. And you were lost in your little state of narcissism, and it was all about Phil Hendry and the wonderfulness of what you are, and oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And someone's beautiful photograph of themselves as a child didn't mean two hot you-know-whats out of the you-know-what of a dog.
And you're saying that to me, looking at me with hostility.
No, Phil, this is not hostility. This is disappointment.
And the you-know-whats out of a dog's you-know-what, I mean, that's pretty harsh language.
Excuse me?
You didn't say any harsh language.
I said you-know-what. What is that?
Well, I mean, the image is...
Well, that's, Phil, what you did. You said to this young lady, thank you very much for the picture that means so much to you, a picture that can never be replaced, a picture of you as a child, a picture that you put in a frame, a little black and white photograph that you put in a frame. Thank you. I need something to wipe with. Thank you.
Really good, Ms. Green.
Okay, well, isn't that just a wonderful speech? Isn't that a great put-down of Phil?
Yes, and you needed it.
All right. I don't deny anything you're saying. I will have to say you're a little bit overboard with the thank you very much. I need something to wipe with.
Why are you laughing, then?
Because it's pretty funny. It's a ridiculous... I never would have thought that, and I didn't think it when she gave it to me. I was preoccupied. I didn't think anything of the photograph at all other than thank you. I will look at it, but, you know... I don't know. We'll take a break, folks.
Need to go to the bathroom?
No, I do not.
That might be a time to look for that picture if you need something to wipe with it.
Get out of here. We'll be right back. World famous. What happened? My world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth
world famous.
Is our bitch. The Phil Faye. Hendry Show.
Hey, Taylor.
All right, Margaret.
Taylor.
Okay, Margaret. Thank you.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, the digital home of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we have an online store there as well. We have baseball caps, T-shirts. We have the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie, which is one of our more successful creations. This is the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie for summertime. It's a great time for the old hoodie, man, no matter where you live, because it gets cool at night. In a lot of areas here in California, it's a great thing to wear on the beach at night. And it has the Ted's logo on the front of it, and on the back, the very famous "We want to put our meat in your mouth," and it's a beautiful thing. We also have shot glasses. We also have our keychain, the Bobby Dooley keychains, tons of stuff, and it's all there. PhilHendryShow.com, PhilHendryShow.com, our online store. So we were sitting here talking, I don't know how we got into keys, because I was talking about, losing stuff, you know, like losing that picture. Only I didn't lose anything, and Dan was talking about losing the key, but I came home. I used to work in Minnesota, I used to work for WCCO Radio in Minneapolis, and I worked there for about a year, and my apartment was in St. Paul. That's like a freeway ride from downtown Minneapolis, these twin cities, and it's across the river. I think it's what the hell's the name of the river there? Minnesota River? I forget, but anyway. So, it was one of these deals. I was living in an apartment in Lower Town, St. Paul, and it just turns out that one of the guys that lived in the apartment there, in this large apartment complex, was a listener of mine and recognized me. and many mornings was getting off of work the same time I was getting off of work. So I'm not saying it was a bad thing, because people, you know, a lot of times you'll meet people that are fans, or they listen to your show. They're nice folks, and they let you do your thing. And hey, how you doing? Hey, you tough night today? Yeah, I hope you're, you know, nice to meet you. And yeah, you want to have a drink? Sure, because they're neighbors, you know. But sometimes people will go a little bit further than that. Sometimes, like, they want to ingratiate themselves. Maybe they want to be friends. Maybe they're knocking on your door a lot. Maybe they're, and this guy would wait for me, you know.
Oh, my God.
No, hold on. It wasn't that bad. But what he was doing was, he knew I got home at a certain time. He got home maybe a few minutes before me, and he would wait at that door and have the door open for me, like I didn't know how to open the door. But in any event, that's what he did. So, and we talked. And not a bad guy, but, you know, I kind of like to come home and just open my own doors. But, all right, so that's all fine. One night, I don't know why I did this, I get home from work, because I worked late, man. I got off at 3 o'clock in the morning, so I would get home maybe a half hour later, and unlocked the door to my apartment, go in, do whatever I do, which was generally get something to eat, watch TV, you know, check the voicemail, blah, blah, all this jazz, man, because it's the early 90s. It was just ahead of the day and age of computers, you know, so there were no real, you know, we didn't have our home computers the way we do now, so you weren't really online as much as you were, like, watching the tube, maybe on the phone, something like that. And then I go to bed, and the next morning I wake up and I go, oh, my God, I left my keys hanging in the door.
You left all of your keys?
Left all of my, and these were the days when you had a lot of keys. You notice how I don't have a lot, are you guys the same as, I don't have a lot of keys anymore. What is that about, man? I don't have keys to jack squat now. I got a key to my house. My car is keyless.
What's that mean, keyless?
You know what it means. You've been in it.
Oh, you got to push a button.
Yes.
Well, you still need the little remote key.
Yeah, okay, but I got a key to the house. That's it. Key to the studio. That's it. Back then, I had more bloody keys, and I'd left them hanging out of the door. I wake up in the morning going, my keys are hanging in the door to my apartment. Oh, my God. So I get out of bed. I open up the door. Gone. They're not there.
Well, how do you know that's where they were?
Because that's where I knew they were. They were hanging out of the door of my apartment, and they were gone. They were gone. And I'm looking around. They're nowhere in the apartment. What did I think? First thing I thought of was this guy. You know? This guy's got my keys. Now, I don't know whether he had my keys or not, but that was the, you know, the paranoid nature of my thinking.
Did you go to the building superintendent to find out if they had any keys?
Of course. Yes, I went everywhere. I said, did anybody find any keys laying on this, that? Anybody turn any keys in? No. Which is even more suspicious to me. I mean, that was really super suspicious to me. Because if you find keys hanging out of a door, you're in an apartment complex. If you've got a shred of honesty in you, you're going to take them and either hold on to them and knock on the door and give them back to the person who lives there. If you can't make contact with that person, you give them to somebody who supervises the building. You're right. I didn't get either contact from this person, or whoever took them, and I'm totally convinced now it's this dude that was hanging around waiting for me, which, like, was really making me angry. And it just so happens, guess what?
What?
I never saw this guy after that. Never saw this guy again after that. Never. Never. All right? I didn't waste any time. The first thing I did was I got the locksmith up there to change the keys, to change the lock on my house, or on my apartment door. But then came the real hassle, and that was getting literally getting the ignition, the lock changed on the ignition.
What do you got to do that for? Why don't you just get new keys made?
Really? And
get your new keys made, man, if the damn key is the same key for the same lock, man.
Oh.
Yeah. So what are you, nuts, bud?
Whoa.
Never mind. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I had to bring a guy down. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had to have the actual ignition lock changed on your car because you are afraid that your key's been compromised somehow? I mean, dude, it's an all-day, well, it ain't all day, but I mean, it's a long job, you know? And I had a Chevrolet Blazer at the time, and Chevy sent a guy down there, and this was a big freaking process, all because I'm dumb, and I left my keys hanging out of my door, and they got ripped off. And I'm telling you, that's why I was even more convinced that it was this dude, because I never saw that guy again, man. This guy would be standing there at the door to my building from the underground garage, You know, we had an underground garage, and then you go to the door and get into the building. And you did have to use your key to get into that. So we had a building key. We had our apartment key, all kinds of keys. And this dude was all, and man, when my keys went missing, that's the last I saw that guy.
Well, why didn't he do something? Because you got the locks changed?
Yeah, I moved on it fast, man. I mean, I had the lock changed to my house.
But how'd you get in if you had a key?
I had duplicates, man, you know.
No, duplicate key, man. What? I thought you said you were going to change the lock.
Hey, bud, think about it, man. I got a lock on my car. The key fits the lock. Hey, guess what? Here's another key that fits that lock. And there's another key that fits that lock. That's really cool. I have three keys. So I'm not worried about losing the keys. I have duplicate keys. Everything's good there. But guess what, man? The keys that I lost, I don't have them. Somebody else may have them. And the guy that has them may use them to get into my place and rip me off, dig, or steal my car.
Oh.
Yeah. God. So I had to have the lock changed, all kind of thing, man. Like that blues song, My Baby Done Changed the Lock on My Door? Yeah.
Not my door, her door. See? Her door. Think about that, and think about it as a sexual symbol. I'm Margaret Gray.
Hey. Get out of here. The Phil Henry Show, produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Henry. Join us online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, and all of your problems have been solved. Get a backstage pass. All your worries have gone away. Get a backstage pass and make me just a little bit wealthier. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Whee!
Phil Henry.